For a moment, I thought he might kiss me. I sensed that he wanted to, and I would have kissed him right back. But he didn't, and we just stayed there for a couple of moments, still, staring at each other as if this look we were sharing was even more intimate than a kiss. Eventually, his attention caught by whoever was speaking to him on the end of the phone that was still clamped to his ear. He glanced away, and I slid my hands down and away from his chest. We continued our journey, passing through another gap in the buildings, and I expected to rejoin the hustle and bustle of London. Instead, I was surrounded by extreme cuteness. Green patches of lawn and more old buildings in different colored brick with tin-paned windows. It was like a toy town. We made a sharp right, and without even saying goodbye, Knightley pressed cancel on his phone and shoved it in his pocket.
"We're here. But let me know how things work out with your mobile."
I wanted him to say something else. Ask me to dinner, kiss me, something. I wasn't ready for him to walk away just yet. In New York, men were everywhere, but no stranger had ever captivated me like this one. It was as if when I'd stepped onto the tube, I'd swallowed some kind of potion that made me completely attracted to this Knightley guy. And he wasn't even my type. I didn't ask guys on dates. I'd never had to. About to watch him walk away, I wished I'd had more practice. "I will. Thank you." He opened his mouth as if he was going to say something, but then frowned, clearly changing his mind. And with that, he swept up some steps and through an open door. I checked the address on my printout. Number 1 New Square. The exact same address was painted in shiny black paint on the side of the building. I'd made it. My handsome stranger had disappeared into the very building where I was headed. Another sign. Maybe I'd get to see him again. Today was my day. I took a deep breath and took the stairs, retracing the footsteps Knightley had just made. Time to be fabulous.
My workout this morning had been punishing. The harder I worked, the harder I worked out. I was a big believer in that if I wasn't physically fit, I couldn't perform as well in my job, and I was willing to do whatever I had to do to be the best barrister I could. As a result, I'd been up since 5, worked out until 6:30, and then had a conference call with Dubai at 7. I hated days when I was late into the office, but this morning couldn't be helped. My commute had been unusual. The woman I'd knocked into while getting off the tube had been beautiful, and I couldn't keep the image of her gazing up at me in the middle of Lincoln's Inn Fields out of my brain. I needed to focus, and perhaps get laid when I got the time. But it wouldn't be tonight. I'd be working. I had hundreds of witness statements to go through and my opening statement to draft. In 3 days, I'd be in court, and that was my sole focus. There was no time to be wasted on fantasizing about women. As I trawled through my emails, trying to pick out the important ones from the hundreds littering my inbox, someone knocked at my door. I resisted the temptation to growl. I hated being interrupted. I needed a sign for the door. "Come in," I barked. The door swung open, and I could tell by the footsteps that the head clerk had swooped in. "Mr. Knightley." "Craig." I didn't take my focus off my laptop screen. Craig was an avuncular and charming man in his mid-50s. He'd been in the business since he was 15 and had clerked my father. If anyone could interrupt me, he could, and he knew it. Over the years, I tried to get him to call me Alex, but he insisted all the clerks and admin staff call the barristers by their surnames. The bar could be a very old-fashioned place. "I want to introduce you to your new assistant, Violet King." I paused, my fingers hovering over my keyboard. I knew nothing of this and would never have agreed to it. I worked alone. Slowly, I turned to find Craig in front of my desk, his eyebrows raised in expectation.